Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, blessed souls, let's dance like Miriam at the Red Sea, because that is a Torah reality. And that was Aryeh Alessa singing Dance Like Miriam at the Red Sea. This is Soul Class number 438. I hope you're feeling great. Whose presence is divine is today's program content number 14. We're broadcasting live right now at 9:32 here from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA. Unifying souls, actually, our program content will focus upon Torah matters relating to divine presence, Shekhinah, plucking inspirations from a Hasidic discourse, as well as other places. That Hasidic discourse we'll be plucking from was a discourse, a Maimar, delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe 64 years ago as of tonight, way back in 1951, corresponding to the Hebrew lunar calendar date of 5,711 years blazing and grazing into the creation. Well, blessed souls, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, about the whole idea that if we go back into pristine, unadulterated Torah consciousness, we encounter teachings from the inner dimensions of Torah, Chassidut and Kabbalah, which instruct us that the beginning of the creation, there was complete revelation of the essence of Shekhinah, divine presence, which is an expression of how, or one of the ways we can understand it in human language, is how godliness, or Elokus, encloses itself in the lower worlds from one perspective, in a manner according to the way the creation is a fitting vessel, whether it's ordained to be that fitting vessel, or it makes itself into a vessel, which is more connected to the human family experience. We human beings are the stewards of the earth, and we are instructed throughout the Torah from the very first letter of the Torah, the base, until the last letter of the Torah in the five books of Moses, in the book of Devarim, the Lamed, that the Torah is a lev, it is an expression of divine heartbeat, and from there there's an ebb and flow of consciousness which is connected, if we want to understand it as it truly is, as an expression of divinity of Elokus. And Lubavitcher Rebbe dedicated his whole life, and those six Rebbes before him from the Lubavitcher dynasty, which is actually, if you take off the garbs of the word Lubavitch, it is actually seven straight generations of direct descendants of King David and Solomon, elucidating the inner dimensions of Torah. But now, as a continuation to last week's Torah presentation, we'll remind you that what we talked about last week at the end of the program. There is an idea that there is a Mr. or Ms. Good Old Human Being. And according to Mr. or Ms. Good Old Human Being's awareness, it can appear to him or her or him, that his or her or his existence is from their own essence. Now, why would a human being, he or she, feel that their existence is from their own essence? Due to the fact that their root, their soul root, their consciousness root, their divine image root, and source is being extracted out, hewn out of a divine essence, which is the source of their existence. So what is the essence of their existence? None other than their essence, which is directly mandated, divinely mandated by the Creator to be revealed within this blessed creation. So each one of us, when we talk about seeking revelations, we need not go further than our own personal lives. Each day of our life is a revelation unto ourselves. But what we do with that revelation, do we just take it as a continuation of yesterday's mundane activities, or do we see it as a present, a gift, an opportunity to express our awareness of the Creator and share that awareness with other people? With all the above being said, there overtly occurs a difference between the Torah concept of Or, of light, and Nivra, created entity. Well, on the one hand, both Or, light, or divine consciousness, or a source of awareness, and the created entity known as a Nivra, a created being, both of them are considered to be emanations, expressions of revelations coming from higher realms, which have gone through myriads of cause and effect relationships, have been revealed from hidden realms of the creation. However, there is a novelty in the expression embedded within the term of Nivra, of a created being, as Nivra manifests as human being, being human. And a human being is given a unique opportunity in this blessed world to access two modes of service, revealing the essence of godliness not accessible actually from the Or by itself on its own accord. Divine light, divine consciousness. Why is that so? Well, first of all, if we consider, number one, that the nature of light, of Or, of revelation, is to be continually attached to its source, which is known as the Meor, the illuminator or source of illumination, the source of the light. If the source of light, the Meor, is, heaven forbid, extinguished, the Or itself, which is in a constant state of attachment to its source, the Meor, will automatically be extinguished itself. Now, of course, when it travels through the universe, like, say, the rays of the sun to this earth, it shouldn't be a contradiction. I believe I once learned many new moons ago that if, say, heaven forbid, if the sun were to become extinct or stop working, it would take about 7 minutes for there to be a reaction upon this earth. And, of course, the earth would become a pretty quickly an ice ball. Now, that's not a contradiction to this idea that if the Meor, the source of illumination, is extinguished, because we see in other presentations as well, in the Hasidic, Kabbalistic elucidations, schools of thought, and speech and action, that if the letters, the divine letters which are embedded in the Torah, were to be withdrawn from the creation, which are the divine conduits for transmitting the godly light of the Creator, then the creation itself would revert back to nothingness. But going back to a golden opportunity for a human being to experience, golden opportunity number one, or mode A, is the experience of itkafia, which means basically sublimating one's innate tendencies and redirecting those tendencies towards serving Creator. Now, those tendencies don't necessarily have to be negative ones, blessed souls. They can be very positive ones. But, for instance, I say a person who has a tendency to eat food, which is basically a positive experience, Then what for? One must try to use his or her freedom of choice, b'chira chafshis, to eat the right types of food at the right time, and of course the right combinations of food. Now, with that positive tendency, and hopefully the positive awareness he or she may have about how to eat food and how to combine them, when to eat them, a person at any time during their day when they can eat can sublimate that innate tendency to eat correctly at the right time and perhaps do something very thoughtful for another person, even if that means, that he or she may reduce the time that they're going to eat. Not that, God forbid, we're promoting someone should incur indigestion on his or her part by not having nearly enough time to eat and trying to eat twice as fast as they normally would. No, we're not commanded to injure ourselves through the act of eating. But say, one is to give up, say, 5 minutes of one's eating time to make a call to one's friend or one's client just to say hello. I'm just calling to see how you are. I don't have much time right now. I'm on my lunch break. Can we talk perhaps after work? Or perhaps tonight we can get together, or maybe next week or over the weekend. And one is basically given testimony that he or she is capable of not just sticking to their own innate tendencies, but rather redirect those tendencies to share with another person a moment that they are important, that they are loved, that they are blessed. And again, we're not asking anyone to starve themselves for the sake of reaching out to other people on their lunch break or their dinner time. But this is just one small example of the aspect of itkafia. I'll give you one more example since we've talked about food. Many, many years ago, before I came into the Hasidic educational movement, I was basically studying in the Lithuanian study movement, or Torah observant movement, which is certainly a five movement on its own accord. But I was interested in the teachings of Hasidus. And I was taught by one of my teachers and one of my primary mentors in the early going of my explorations of Hasidic teachings, Rabbi Shmuel Wadowski, Olav Hashalom, of blessed memory, may rest in peace, told me that before I eat a meal, to perform a simple exercise, before eating my breakfast or my lunch. And what he suggested to me was, instead of just digging right into that food, whether it be good or could be better, is to recite Psalms 23, where there is the expression of the prophetic King David's gratitude to the Creator. Even though he might be in the shadow of death, he still felt his cup is overflowing with the blessings and the bounty and the countenance of the Most High. So that's one way, blessed, so you can experience itkafia. If you feel that chapter 23, just a humble suggestion, if you feel chapter 23 is too long for you, there's also chapter 117 in Psalms, which only consists of two verses, which are also penned by King David. Going on to the second mode, or the second opportunity for a human being to engage in a service, which is not really actualized by light, divine consciousness, although we are empowered by that very light that we are accessing, whether we want to accept it or not as divine light, or just mere physical energy, as the atheists or agnostics might want to look at it, or the physicists, whether they be regular physicists or quantum physicists. There's the idea of ithapcha, transformation within the human being's experience. Like, for instance, we could take a mundane piece of paper and we can print upon it various symbols and government seals, if we work for the government, and that by giving that piece of paper, our society calls currency or money, and therefore allowing another person to earn this currency or money, he or she then can buy food. And hopefully then we'll bless the Creator for his or her sustenance. And after finishing that food, giving thanks to the Creator for the sustenance they just enjoyed. So in this case, paper, rooted in its humble beginnings as part of a tree, is transformed from merely being a logistical intermediary, into a vessel serving its rider, meaning the human being, as a means of allowing the rider, in another example, person using that dollar bill, to bestow tzedakah charity, to empower the receiver of the tzedakah, the charity, the act of righteousness on the part of the giver, to buy food, to bless the food, eat the food, and again bless the Creator for the bounty he or she have received because they received that dollar. Meaning, blessed soul, something which grows out of the ground is being used in an energy exchange between human beings and metal and the printing press and various types of dyes which are extracted either from the earth or artificially concocted. And it serves as a way to allow a person to acquire food and make blessings and praise the Creator, and also hopefully to instill with them a sense of gratitude to the human being who helped them, and also to instill in the person who gave that dollar or that several dollars for the person to buy something, in order that they should feel the merit that they actually helped another person not just eat but bless the food and feel more gratitude in their lives. Now, these two modes of service that we just talked about, ithapcha and itkafia, or itkafia, sublimation of one's tendencies, ithapcha, transformation of matter to the point where it cannot revert back to its original state, or it because it's been elevated to a higher purpose, these two modes of service towards the Creator, as identified in the inner dimensions of Torah, Panimata Torah, as it relates to one of the means by revealing Shekhinah, divine presence on the earth, give testimony to a type of consciousness was called the Shtus Shel Kedusha, the folly of consciousness, meaning going above one's own wisdom and understanding and knowledge to submit themselves to something above their own reasoning process. Now, since charity, whether the abundance of it being distributed or the lack of it, as evidenced within, unfortunately, cruel societies in the history of the human family experience, Hashem of mercy that these type of mentalities should be wiped away. Not the people, but the mentalities, blessed souls. We have seen that these type of experiences, whether the abundance of giving charity or the lack of giving charity, have been so part of the human family experience that we just take it to be common sense today. Whether, on the one hand, one person will say it's common sense to give as much as one can, on the other hand, one says, why should I give to another person? They didn't earn it. They don't deserve it. However, this is when we realize that once upon a time, when we just started the human family experience with one person who became two, because Eve was actually extracted out of the rib or constructed from the rib of Adam, before there was the giving or the doing of good one to the other, and then as two people had children and those children became fruitful and multiplied until we have today 7 billion people, it could occur that to block the greater reality by not discussing these matters, even though they might just seem to be common sense occurrences in our daily lives, the act of giving charity, the act of eating food, the act of pushing aside one's tendency to eat in a more comfortable manner in order to take a couple minutes to call up another person and see how they're doing, to block this discussion or not to engage in discussion is precluding us from a consciousness that this creation is a potent means of testifying that the world that we live in is being divinely guided via divine plan called Torah, which means instruction or an expression of law. And you can decide for yourselves if you want to understand Torah as Bible or Scripture, or expression of law and instruction. But ultimately, where did all of this stuff come from? Instruction and law, structure, common sense. But we understand it, that all of these things as mentioned above are rooted and sourced from Creator's wisdom, will, understanding, and delight. Now, on a much more personal level, which we can experience and offer testimony about this experience of sublimation, of transformation, itkafi nithapcha, when we subdue our animal soul tendencies, meaning, why do we call a soul that's animal? Meaning, that which is involved in our voluntary and involuntary functioning, our respiratory system, our digestive system, the system by which we eliminate the aspects of food and drink that we imbibe in. There is an aspect to our consciousness which just is broadcasting to our body as long as we live that very matter of awareness. You shall live, therefore do things which promote your safety and welfare. And once we get to a certain level of maturity, if you merit to take on a soulmate, may all of you do so, to protect them. So what happens is that our animal soul tendencies, blood souls, kind of veer off into pleasures and all sorts of accessible pleasures. And therefore, unfortunately, all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we can get into levels of indulgence whereby instead of getting involved in the option of engaging in itkafia, of sublimating our natural tendencies, and again, I'll remind you, says we have good tendencies as well as bad tendencies, and tendencies which are like standing in the middle, or like walking the tightrope between good and bad tendencies. So the nature of our animal soul, which is there to help us live our lives on the voluntary and involuntary functional level of the human body experience, can also allow us to engage in accessible pleasures and indulge in them more than we need to. Therefore, we must come to a realization, if we choose to, our option is there. Do we want to redirect our tendencies and our animal soul tendencies towards fulfilling a divine instruction, such as fulfilling a divine commandment of charity, or avoiding worshiping, say, idols? We have to make the choice if we want to avoid murder in a premeditative fashion. Another human being, heaven forbid, may we never know, it's a bitter lot. Blessed souls, it's all about redirecting the energy, the vitality, the power that we feel in our daily lives, which have been given to all of us with such grace and mercy. And we can further energize ourselves with this divine energy, which is embedded in any commandment of the Torah. Now, for each person interfacing, perhaps for the first time, with this idea of subduing our tendencies or transforming our tendencies, meaning by investing ourselves to use, say, legal currency, instead of our own needs, and buying food or giving someone money so they can buy food. This is something that once it's done, we can't take it back. So therefore, the transformation is eternal, and the merit is eternal. And what makes it eternal is that by doing an act of charity, we have connected to the divine mandate. That's another word, I guess you can say, concerning a commandment or an instruction or a law or a structure. And this is a level of accessibility which our human intellectual sensitivities, on one hand, may say, let's learn more about this whole idea of subduing our human or animal soul tendencies or even our human intellectual tendencies. Or someone would say, I would like to learn more about this. I would like to share a simple level of subdual and transformation as per a radio interview that was conducted this past fall in New York City. However, I'm going to leave you a little bit hanging, blessed souls, because actually we run out of time, and I had tremendous joy sharing these few concepts, because all of these concepts, blessed souls, are connected to the idea of the divine presence. With that being said, blessed souls, we're going to end off on something where you can also experience something else connected to the idea of revealing the divine presence. And it's a matter of seeing how we feel after the experience. One is an elicitation from above to below, and that's through learning Torah, scripture, with all oral Torah and written scriptural verses, whichever ones you choose to learn from. There's also the idea of tefillah, prayer, which is an elevation from below to above. With that being said, blessed souls, there is a teaching that's in the world that it's much harder to ascend than it is to descend. Meaning, it's easier to sense an experience of profundity, of learning from a consciousness higher than your own. If we're honest with ourselves, we realize there's always a consciousness higher than our own, even if we're ascending to the most pristine levels according to our human life experience. Then say, how can we elevate ourselves by subduing our animal tendencies, our good tendencies, or even our human intellectual tendencies, to try to connect to sincere prayer with the Creator and see where we can go with that in terms of coming to a new level of awareness. So that's something to that's a thought to leave you with, blessed souls, and we're going to end off now as we usually do with our segue ending music of David Domo. Help us get back home, to help us realize our Tzelem Elokim is no dream. Our divine image is out there to help us and get scrimmage. And this is Fix My World by David Dome. Fix My World with Emunah. Emunah means faith. So he'll be singing a lot about faith, blessed souls. So with that being said, let's conclude today's program, hopefully in a spirit, Baruch Shel, Ahav Echad, one love, Gorel Echad, one destiny, Kulana for all of us, Bardach Yisham, in a peaceful, Darchi Nom, in a pleasant way, Lahamshich, to be continued, Bezer Shem Yisbreak, to be continued with the help of the Most High. Take care, everyone.
and return to my home.